this track, boy. This track, go.
They like my Colorado swag, 'cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad. Holly did a bus with my Colorado swag. See you later, baby. Colorado Army with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And voters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. Whoa. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Yeah. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid. Uh-huh. 'Cause you know we finna hit ya.
Hit ya.
Hey. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Yeah. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it.
Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com. Pleased to be joined again this week by football analyst William Gardner. We've had quite the snowstorm come through. So internet's been a little shoddy. Hopefully we can get through this show. Hopefully the audio gets through okay. Hopefully we get some good comments in the chat today. You'll notice that I am no longer in the hospital. So some positive movement in my life. William, you and I got a chance to chat over the phone a couple nights ago. That was nice. How have you been enduring this early May snow situation?
I'm a gig and I'm working at a nursery now, so just kind of just
restart that real quick. Just sorry, you're live now, but you were muted there for a second.
Oh, see, trying to keep me silent. I get it. I retired from my 19-year other gig and took a job as working at a nursery now, which is a lot of fun. I'm out in the day in the light sunlight and meeting people, interesting people, talking to them and whatever. But this weather, nothing to do at a nursery when it's raining and snowing, and I hope it doesn't crush all the plants. But it's definitely good for the we need the moisture and water. So that's sort of a Colorado mantra every spring. So I don't know.
Yeah, and then this year it's even more extreme. Yeah. You know, this is important, all this moisture, but we need like four more of these for like it to be a normal summer, and we're not getting four more of these in May. So it's going to be a very dry summer in Colorado.
Yeah. And I mean, I think as long as you can stay inside, this weather doesn't make all that much difference. I don't know.
Yeah. So. SOB Chronicles said, Adam and William, good seeing you guys. Adam, glad you're feeling better. Shy Sky 7 said, continued prayers on your health. And Sco Buffs 26 said, welcome back. Adam, yeah, it's been a little bit of a stretch, and I'm just so glad to be able to join you guys from the home office. And I got out last Thursday. Look at the swag on that man right there. and I hope the sarcasm drips off my tone there. So I get home, haven't seen my dog in a long time, and she's my little shadow. Shout out to my guy, Steven Kaufman. He's a subscriber on BuffStampede.com. He got his puppy, his boxer puppy, female brindle, same time as me, basically. So when we got our dog's shots, we started getting them together. He came over with his dog to my house, and that was kind of cool. And you'll never believe what my first meal was, man.
What's that? Oh, Taco Bell. Yeah, right.
I got a soft taco chicken. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
still healing, so you got to take care of yourself. I mean, we were talking Tuesday night, still feelings, you know, with all with the internal. He showed me pictures and all that internal bleeding. You know, when you bleed internally, there's no room for anything to go, so it kind of bruises stuff and it hurts for a while. So you got to kind of take care of that.
Yeah, it's been that's been the longest part of this process is the pain aspect of it. So I will get there though. So, anyways, I appreciate all the well wishes out there because I'll tell you, man, we're gonna talk CU football most of the time, not just keep talking about my health. But man, Buff Nation really stepped up for me and my family, and I couldn't thank them enough. So, and you and everybody on staff, just fantastic. I mean, I really appreciate you guys.
Well, it just goes to show, I mean, to follow, you know, what Coach Prime said earlier this year is like, you know, to the extent that you can, get yourself checked out because it makes you, it reminds you that something could be going on, you know, and I don't know, for me, I'm always late to go to the doctor because I'm like, it'll get better, it'll get better, you know, and so I guess, especially at my age, I better get it checked out sooner than later.
Yeah, I've already got a colonoscopy scheduled for June. Just, it's like, I got to stay on top of this health stuff going forward. I don't want to go through that again. You know, it's so much easier when you can take care of it before it gets to a negative point. But anyways, we'll get off our soapbox there. Since last week's show, Amari McNeil, he signed as an undrafted free agent with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was going to go to another mini camp, but the Chiefs liked what they saw. They wanted to make sure they kept him. This was the guy that William all along, I was like, you got to give him a chance at least, because I think this is a practice squad player in the NFL worst.
Yeah, I think he's still yet to hit his highest of his potential by a good ways, you know, and most males don't really hit their physical peak and prime until mid to late 20s anyway. So he's still got some growing and learning how to play the game and had some bad luck with injuries this last year. When he's on, he's almost an unblockable guy. So if he can turn that on all the time and figure it out, he could be a role player at the next level. I'm glad to see him get that shot and make the most of it, you know.
Yeah. I've done a ton of recruiting updates on BobStampede.com. Actually, we're recording this Wednesday late morning. I've got a story on a blue chip running back recruit that's pretty pumped about the Buffs. So there's a lot more energy on the recruiting trail for the Buffs right now. Not in terms of commitments, but in terms of interest. We're getting we'll get into some of the upcoming official visit stuff as we go along. With those recruiting updates, was there any of those prospects that particularly stood out to you, William, that I featured here in the last week or so?
Well, Jafiah Roussan, man, he's the grandson of Lee Roussan, which kind of makes me want to cry a little bit. But Lee Roussan,
you know, I covered his dad's recruitment.
Well, yeah,
CU.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm still thinking of his grandfather because I was there at CU with Lee, and he was just a couple years older than I was. I think he got drafted in the NFL in 1985, and he's one of the best running backs we've had at CU. I think he's 14th on the list of all-time rushers.
Yeah,
great football player and just one of the nicest people I've ever known. So kind of exciting to see his grandson. Makes me to have people my age have grandsons that are 17, it kind of puts it in perspective. But he's a good-looking running back prospect too, so he kind of jumped out at me. And, I don't know, you know, the ninth grade.
He's picking up offers. He's going to have a really long offer list when all is said and done, for sure.
Yeah, and you know,
he's that back that he's going to give you 4.0 yards per carry, right? Probably not a lot more than that. Not it, but he's going to get you in good second and third down distances, I think, is about.
Well, I think he's a big running back with some moves and some speed, so I think he can do a lot of different things. But, you know, people think it's a guarantee because their dad played here or their grandfather. But, you know, like Matt Russell's kid is going to UCLA. But, you know, sometimes they don't want to follow in the footsteps of the earlier generation and make their own name somewhere. So we'll see. You know, I think he's certainly looking at Colorado, and that's a very interesting recruit. In terms of interesting, you know, the ninth grade defensive tackle they offered kind of catches your attention. Jarrell Scott, 6'2", 285.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. I expect he'll hopefully grow a couple inches if they'll need him. But other than that, you know, it's a lot of 2028 guys that sort of were in the recent updates that caught my attention. Fui Vakapuna is a linebacker. Torrey Clark's another big defensive lineman. And then there's a tight end I like, Faraji Tucker. Is a big tight end. I think that, you know, he's got a couple of years left. So Kyron Haywood is another big defensive lineman. Haywood's got offers from just about everybody. He's like, I think if I remember correctly, like 6'2", 260. So reads like more of an edge guy. But everybody's in after him, Georgia, Alabama, what have you. So that'd be a great one to pick up too.
We've pretty much accelerated this prep recruiting calendar a year since I started doing this job. It used to be the spring evaluation period where you'd be offering 27s.
Right.
Now it's like the 28 guys are getting tons of offers right now.
Right. And the 27 guys are a lot of them are deciding already. So, you know, it's
yeah. You're almost too late on some of these 27s because they've got their official visits booked now that you can take. See, back in the day, you couldn't take official visits in the summer. So that's why you kind of had it delayed a little bit more in the process, because first Wednesday in February was the first time anything was going to be official. And I thought that actually worked out okay for the most part. In Colorado, I think you want to be able to have summer official visits because they go down to Texas or the South or California and they come out to Boulder. The weather's pretty dang good in late May and in June in Colorado versus, you know, in the past when they could only host guys in the winter. You're rolling the dice there.
I mean, it is what it is. It's still beautiful in its own way, and you got to make the best of it. But also, you know, kids got to have their decision. Well, I guess they mostly have to have their decisions made by mid-December now, you know, so they can.
Yeah.
Most of them are signing on that first day, and the second signing day, you know, the old traditional signing day is kind of like maybe for guys that popped up later or something like that.
Yeah. A couple other notes. Caden Salter headed to play in Canada. Tristan Morose has a good story. I wrote on him shortly after our last podcast. You know, not a special teams guy, Colorado, but he's in Canada. He's a football player. So he has to leave Canada to go down to Florida to get exposure going into his junior and senior year of high school to make it as a college football player. He goes somewhere on scholarship, is starting, decides to bet on himself, comes to Colorado as a walk-on. And he said, yeah, I looked the part now. It was worth it because he was able to get the training table and development. And now he's going back to Canada because that's an opportunity that gives him the best chance to play football. So it's kind of come full circle for him.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun. I mean, he certainly hit the weight room hard with Coach Swayze and his team. You see it, you see the size of his shoulders and everything else. You know, I meant to look up his height and weight, what he got on pro day, but that's exciting to me, you know, to get a chance to go up there and continue to play the game to get paid. You know, you don't make a fraction of the money you do in the NFL, but you're still getting paid to play the game, you know, and so good for him. I think that's exciting. And I think one of the things that you mentioned just now is coming from that lower level to a place where there is a training table and a significant improved weight program, that's going to pay off for us in terms of a lot of our transfers this year. You know, who some of these guys, it's be the first time they have a chance to eat right three times a day, every day of the week, and then have a training program, you know, like Swayze puts on. So a lot of those guys coming from the lower levels get that and can really expand their game. We're going to talk about later on today some of the guys we think might blow up, and I think that is a factor in some of these guys for sure.
This isn't meant to be mean. There's no way Caden Salter was going to be an NFL quarterback. Do you think, what are the chances that, because it's a wider field, right? I'm not a CFL expert. It's always kind of been more conducive to dual threat quarterbacks, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, you know, to what extent they throw versus run, but with the wider field, that does give him a little bit more. And I think, you know, there's more to the Caden Salter story than people know. And I don't know. Sometimes things
work out. Move on, right?
Yeah, sometimes they don't work out. But, you know, here he's getting an opportunity, and that's all you can ask for in life.
Yep. So we did a fun roundtable story this week. The in-state recruiting debate always gets people's juices flowing.
Yeah.
And it's so pointless, but it was a fun exercise. And, you know, three of us felt one way. Two guys the other way. It was good. It was kind of a little bit of a balanced story that Leo Rivera kind of organized.
Wasn't it the two younger guys that went the other way?
Or did it Will Burnett and Leo. Yeah.
Yeah. They got to grow up a little bit and realize we're right.
Come on now.
That's all.
No, it's good. No, how boring is that, though, if you read a roundtable, whatever, it was like, agree. Like, come on. I thought I was happy.
No, it was all fine. I'm just saying, it's nice to have some controversy, but you know, we're the older, wiser guys. I'm just saying.
I don't understand why you can't have an opinion on this subject without like people getting really angry. Like not many people that have followed local high school recruiting in Colorado as it pertains to CU than the two of us in the last two decades.
Well, you know, I don't know. I would take it to a higher level and say it's 2026, man. You can't have an opinion on anything without somebody getting pissed off anymore. And I think it's because of the prevalence of the social media. Everybody got a chance to spout their opinion off and throw it up there, you know. And you're looking at a screen instead of a human being. So, like, you know, a lot of our psychological makeup, we base our responses on facial response and things like that. And and most of us have empathy, you know. So we don't usually get mad because somebody disagrees with us. But if you're looking at a computer screen, you can just shoot back whatever pops into your head right off the bat, and there's usually no downside to it. So I think people just react instead of thinking sometimes in terms of some of these things. As far as the in-state recruiting, I don't know, you know, some people have a vested interest in having us recruit more in-state. Comment about
I've never said I love it when they get a local kid that's good.
Yeah.
But the elite guys that have come through here, it's been multiple head coaches. They don't want to go to CU. These kids that are getting recruited right now have not seen CU go to a back-to-back football game, back-to-back seasons in their lifetime.
Not you only have
the current, it's the kids in Georgia don't care what happened 12 years ago.
Not only have they not seen recent success, but you know, anything what they see getting written up a lot more here because they're local or in social media or whatever is the bad things, right? So all you really see from CU, if you live in sort of inside the state, is bad things, except in you know 2024 when everything was great. So you hear a lot of bad things, and that's what you get. But I don't know, you know, like Matt Russell, one of the greatest busts of all time, Buckus Award winner, linebacker, and his kid goes to Valor, and he's an interior lineman on offense, 6'3", 295, and he picked UCLA. I don't know. Somebody on the board
said he isn't signed yet, and you never know. Yeah, Matt Russell, I've been around him enough that he's got a lot of buff pride there. That's not a personal thing with him for sure.
No, I'm just what I'm trying to get at, though. You gotta finish my thought.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, you know, it's like for one thing, not every kid wants to go where his dad went. You know, I mean, maybe there's two ways to look at it. I guess if your dad was a Buckus Award winner at Colorado, those are kind of big footsteps, you know. And people can expect you to be your dad and whatever, you know, and some kids don't want to follow that, and then other kids do and what have you. So you can't automatically say because of last name. But then I don't know, I didn't get too upset about it because he's a 6'3", 295 pound interior lineman. They're kind of a dime a dozen, man, you know. And when he's playing here in Colorado, unfortunately he's not going to face big defensive linemen or linebackers. So I'd quite frankly take a kid with the same size interior from Georgia or Texas or Florida, where they are going to see those kinds of guys, and they're going to get better coaching than they generally do here. So I don't know, you know, my thought on it is in any given year, there's maybe, just to be generous about it, maybe 4 to 10 guys in the state that are legit power four guys, you know. And out of those 10 guys, maybe 3 or 4 of them really are the caliber to play for us. And, you know, you go hard after the top few and I don't know, you know, may put in an effort on the others too. But like last year, what was the big kid at Windsor last year? Big lineman, huge 4-star lineman, picked Oklahoma, I think. Whatever his name was. The point is, you know, we had that guy on campus like 6 times, man. You know, he was in unofficial.
He's going to Tennessee, right?
No, I think Deacon,
Oklahoma. Oh, yeah. Deacon Schmidt. Yeah.
What?
Deacon Schmidt.
Yeah, Deacon Schmidt. And you know what? We did everything we could to get that kid. And he loved CU, you know. But at the end of the day, he said, well, Oklahoma, man, you know. And over the last 20 years, there's really no comparing Oklahoma to Colorado in terms of quality of football. You can hardly blame the guy, but you can't say we didn't recruit him because we did everything possible. And we swayed him because he wasn't thinking CU at all. He said, I remember him saying in an interview, I wasn't thinking CU, but they made such a point to me that I am, you know. So,
yeah.
There are guys in state, you know, like there's clearly guys in state who could have helped us in the past. And it goes all the way back to, you know, I graduated from Littleton High School in 1982, and the best players in the state then were some of the best players in the country. You know, Barry Remington, still the all-time leading tackler at CU, a linebacker, and John Embry played at Cherry Creek, graduated senior. I did. Oh my God, our team doctor went to Boulder. I'm thinking.
McCarty.
Yeah. Eric McCarty was all big time fullback and linebacker. And, you know, Tony Boselli was a 5-star offensive lineman at Fairview. So the guys were still here back then, and it was still about the same. But, you know, like Bill McCartney built his initial class off in-state guys because he wanted to have a feeling of state pride and what have you. But that was the 1980s, man. That's not now, you know, because like in the 1980s, you can still remember when CU finished third in the country. So I don't know. I don't think it's not going to, if we had more Colorado kids, it's not going to put more butts in the seats. I don't think it's not going to get us any goodwill from the local media. Nothing ever will. So I say, you know, fill your roster with really good players from wherever they come from. I don't really care one way or the other.
And one thing to point out, too, is that something that no one wants to point out is that Coach Prime is loved up those walk-ons. The OB patch got put on there. Charlie Offerdahl gets put on scholarship.
Yeah,
and fed himself on scholarship. Brady Kopetz sits the portal. They want him. They put him on scholarship. So. You're missing a little. Listen, that's the full story too. Yeah. That's part of the story,
right? And you know, to add to that, and to tack the legacy story onto that, one of the best buffs in the last 5 to 10 years, Brady Russell came in as a walk on. So another, well, that's the Russell family still. So kind of funny. His cousin now is going to go somewhere else, and like you said, it's not over with. But somebody mentioned on the board Christian Fourier and his kid. I don't know. There's a lot of dynamics that go on with some of these alums at CU, you know.
You got 100 players in a program.
Yeah.
It's not going to work for everybody. It just isn't. See, if your sample size – and this is one of the thing that pissed me off about Athlon's reporting is a lot of us think we know who their sources are. And it's like come on, like – you're basing this on 2 players out of over 100 that were just pissed off. You know, it's you got to have a bigger sample size than just one Fourier not working out. I think you stop recruiting legacies. Arden Walker worked out fine. You wish he had a better senior season, but he had a nice run with the Buffaloes.
And you can't make absolutes about anything. I mean, you know, back in like 90 through 95, when we were one of the top 3 programs in the entire country, dudes still left pissed off, you know. Guys still didn't feel like – there were always some guys that felt like they weren't getting treated fairly, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter how good you are or how well-run your program is. Like you said, with 105 guys or more, you're going to have some guys that don't fit.
Yeah. Well, on the other side here, we are going to do – our segment on buffs that are primed to break out. Real quick, I'll remind you that if you are a Buff Stampede member, download the app on your Android or Apple phone or your iPhone, and you'll be able to access everything on our site. It's a pretty slick feature. And right now, we're running a 3 months for $1 feature, and this is going to take you all the way through the official visit season, which our national guys are going to be on top of it. I'm going to be on top of it. You and I are going to be breaking down recruiting every week on this show going forward. So looking forward to that.
When one layer isn't enough, we go deeper. Actually, Taco Bell, they go triple. Introducing the Triple Double Crunchwrap. Premium all-white meat marinated chicken seasoned with bold Mexican spices and tossed in a crunchy tortilla chip coating and dusted with bold, flavorful Diablo spice seasoning served with spicy ranch sauce. And because we couldn't stop there, pair it with Zab's nacho fries. Golden, crisp nacho fries, savory, slow-roasted chicken, warm nacho cheese, freshly prepared pico de gallo, creamy ranch that is infused with Zab's St. Augustine sauce, and a blend of mozzarella, pepper jack, and cheddar cheese. This isn't just a meal. It's a full-on flavor experience. More layers, more flavor, more reasons to be back again at Taco Bell. Because at Taco Bell, they don't do average. They do extra. Triple, double, Crunchwrap, and only at...
Kind of cut out there, then. I got to finish that right. Because at Taco Bell, we don't do average. We do extra. Triple, double, Crunchwrap, and Zab's nacho fries. Only at Taco Bell.
Can I get a bone? Where's the camera?
Liv Moss, here you got to do it over the Taco Bell jingle, though. Go ahead.
Okay. Now you scared me. Now I'm afraid I'm going to just be.
Okay, it's off now. What were you going to say?
Weird old white guy. I don't know. I was looking at that first one, and it had the three layers. And if the top layer, I'd like the top layer to be like the bottom two layers. I don't need the green stuff so much.
Come on. That little bit of lettuce.
If my doctor's listening, I'm just kidding. I get three layers of lettuce, Doc.
We're not going to spend much time on this, but something that came down here a couple of days ago. In a vote last week, the AFCA board swung its support behind a playoff with max participants, likely 24. What are we doing there? They're also in support of discontinuing conference championship games and ending the college football playoff by the second week of January. This year, the title game was on January 19th, and next year's is currently scheduled for January 25th. January 25th is definitely too late for schools to be getting into the portal stuff. I mean, Colorado, their spring semester started before that.
Yeah, but that being said, if you're in a national championship game on the 25th, wouldn't you take that?
Yes. I'm just saying, like, I understand that the NCAA and just a lot of people in general, because it's a student athlete sport, probably don't want these athletes competing like in the middle of summer. But do you know how much college football could own? You could run camp in July, they could own August. You're going to tune in to a real college football game over an NFL preseason game. Most people, right? I mean, you got the NFL sickle fans that are just diehard about it, but I think you're going to get you get amazing ratings. You got baseball and golf. That's about it that time of year.
So just move the season earlier and.
Yeah, it gets it done quicker. The conference championship games, I'm fine either way. I do think if you're going to do that, you need to require these conferences to play at least 9 conference games.
Right.
So you get more of that in conference competition. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to have tiebreakers, you know, deciding a lot of this stuff.
Crazy. I mean, you got to have maybe even more. I don't know, 10 conference games, whatever. If you're in a conference for a reason to play conference games, so you know, you need, like you said, you need to have a realistic view at the end of the season who's number one. Like in 2024, some of the tiebreaker scenarios were ridiculous. You know,
for all
the teams because that somebody didn't play each other. That said, you know, I think, you know, expand, you know, I hear people mostly what I feel like I've mostly heard complaining about expanding the playoffs from 12 to 24. But to me, I don't know. It's like, you know, you always heard the arguments when you expand the NCAA basketball pool, it dilutes the pool. Doesn't seem to have.
Yeah. I mean, the big debate there has always been that what makes college football so awesome is that every week the game is so important. And one loss can really screw you over, or it can really elevate you. 16 would be fine. I don't think you want to go beyond that, especially, you know, football's a physical sport, and this is the end of the season. I think 16 is a good number because it gives you, you know, almost borderline the top 15, and there'll be debate. Yeah. Even if you go to 24, like the tournament, they're going to NCAA basketball tournament, there's going to be debate there.
There's always debate, you know, and there's always something that, you know, it's this team. You know what, if you let 100 teams in, you know, the number 101 would be pissing off, like, we should have got picked. We're better than number 100. Yeah, there's really no way to get away from that kind of controversy. But I don't know if they can really get the thing done by the middle second week of January. That's probably good. But I don't know. We always like the Cinderella story and the team that makes a little run and gets a couple of wins over so-called blue blood teams. You know, my favorite part of the playoffs every year is watching the floaty quack bastards get beat. No championships, big zero on the helmet for it. Thanks. Not personal. Love you. Here, big hug.
I do like that they expanded it though, because remember a few years ago, Florida State was undefeated and completely got hosed.
Yeah,
that shouldn't happen. And I'm not crying for the Seminoles because I'm not a fan, but like that's just not fair. So I'm okay with them expanding it. Any other thoughts here, or should we jump into our main topic?
No, I'm ready to go. I just think I don't know. No matter how you do it, there's going to be some controversy, but some of them seem pretty stupid. But even with a 64 team NCAA thing, there are teams you look and go, how'd they leave them out? You know, so I don't know.
Well, you proposed this question. It's on our title for the show. Break it down. What are we doing here? We're talking about, of course, Buffs primed to blow up. What specifically was kind of your thought process as you were picking out some guys?
Well, I was just thinking about guys that I think are going to take a big leap. And I guess there's different. So I said blow up. You know, that's a term we always use. Somebody's going to blow up. So that could mean a lot of things. It could mean blow up on a national level as you have such a good season that people are like, I didn't know, nobody ever heard of this guy. And here he is, you know, finalist for awards and things like that. I guess I didn't really define it.
So you can't pick Danny Scudero because he led the country in receiving last year. Is he really going to best that?
Well, I listed a lot of guys. I'm not going to mention all those guys, but there's an argument to be made for Danny Scudero because the guy was a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award. Nobody knows who the hell he is. I mean, you talk
from
about
people, from a perception standpoint. Yeah,
right. People on our board.
Productivity.
Like,
yeah.
People on our board are like, "Who's this little guy from nowhere? He can't be any good, right?" It's like, well, okay. So you can blow. So like you do what he did last year, and you do it in the Big 12. You're blowing up, man. You know, you're going to be national news, right? So it could mean that. It could mean a guy that goes from never having played to being a starter and being a solid player. You know, Chauncey Gooden. You know, Chauncey Gooden going to blow up, I think. Now, is he going to be nationally known? He's an offensive lineman, so probably not, you know. So it can mean a lot of different things. You know, I mean, I put him and Bo Hewley on my list as offensive lineman. And I think if Bo Hewley wins that left tackle spot, you know, left tackles have a chance to pick up a lot more notoriety, I guess. But if you're an offensive lineman, you're not going to blow up nationally in the news because nobody ever talks about offensive linemen.
But if you're like talking all conference, those are specified for O-line. So there's a certain number of slots. If he's one of the best 5-6 O-linemen, I forget, that the Big 12 has on their first team, you know, that's what I was thinking when I was looking at this exercise.
So like so people say, you know, well, Bo Hewley started some games at Georgia and, you know, he comes here, gets a fresh start. He's not competing against five, you know, doesn't have to beat out other 5-star guys at Georgia. He gets rolling here and beats up on the Big 12. You know, he's certainly going to blow up. You know, I think Bo Hewley has first team all conference potential in the Big 12. I think Chauncey Gooden has, you know, possible, you know, freshman of the year type, all freshman All-American type ability, you know, even though it's his second year, he's still technically a freshman. But So, you know, I don't know. I guess what got me thinking about this is the guy I was thinking of in my head was Damian Henderson, the big running back who came.
Yeah, that's going. Yep.
With boy, I can't remember anybody's name, man.
Brandon Marion.
Yeah. And where was he last year? Was it San Jose or
Sacramento State?
Sacramento State. So, you know, Damian Henderson to me, put up, you know, 500 plus yards in this offense last year. And he's a big back, 6'2", 205, and looked really good to me in spring. And what I saw in spring that I didn't know was kid's fast, got some speed. He can take it to the house.
Back, yeah.
So Damian Henderson's a guy nobody's ever heard of, you know, outside of.
The national guys are talking about Richard Young.
Right.
Locally
right,
here,
right.
We're talking about Damian Henderson.
Right. And, you know, same thing could be said for Richard Young as about Bo Hewley. You know, maybe he gets here and the light goes off and suddenly he's nationally known, you know. So he's another one. I kind of put them in parentheses as two guys I think could be that guy, you know, or maybe both of them. So I don't know. I've been throwing names out there. What do you got?
So my list is three here. Two of them, it's about health because the potential is definitely there. And one of them is about the guy continuing to stay on the path that he's been on. I'll start with running back to Kalen Taylor. The second that I heard that Brandon Marion was coming to Colorado, it's like, this is going to be perfect for DT and the track hawk. And his thing is he's just got to stay healthy. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be one of the best, most versatile, dangerous players on this offense this year.
Yeah.
He's had some nice moments, but just has not been able to sustain that long term.
Well, and I also think that this offense was made for him, you know, and the many things that they're going to ask him to do in this offense are just perfect for his skill set. And he's going to stand out, you know, I mean, even healthy last year, I'm not sure he would have stood out in that POS offense that that other idiot had last year. So if he comes,
he was before he got hurt. He was playing well.
Yeah, I don't really want to rehash all that stuff, but
please not.
This is a much better.
Say Shermer like 10 times and just like never say the word again.
This is a much better offense, and it's run by a much better offensive coordinator who has a plan and knows what he's doing. And I saw enough in spring to know that he really wants to get the ball into the hands of these speedy guys and let them do what they do, you know. So I think the Kalen Taylor is a great choice.
Yeah. Next one, DeAndre Moore Jr., who, again, back to the injuries, was not able to participate this spring. Had some big moments at Texas. He was a blue chip recruit coming out of high school. His whole thing is just putting it all together. You can maybe throw Hakeem Williams in this as well, but I think DeAndre Moore has the higher ceiling. And we've heard that he's actually been, even though not able to participate on the field, has been one of the big leaders, if not the leader, in that receiver's room. So he's another guy that if he stays healthy, I think is going to have a really good season for the Buffs.
Yeah, and I think we've got a lot of guys like that in that wide receiver room. I think Joseph Williams is a guy that could be a really explode and become somebody guy. And I think Quentin Gibson at some point is going to blow up, you know, this year, next year, I don't know. But, you know, he and Boo Carter could be the most dynamic returners in the conference.
Yeah. Boo Carter is actually my third guy. And I know that's a little chalky, but he's the best athlete on this football team. He can play pretty much any skill position. It sounds like they're going to want to get him reps at outside corner. And that if you're going up against a team that has a stud slot receiver, you might see him, you know, in that nickelback role. You know, props to Boo. There was a lot of, you know, people that were wondering if this was the right move to bring him in. If he can keep this going, he's got to keep it going. I'm excited to see him because he's an NFL talent for sure.
Yeah, there's no question about his athletic and football skills. And then, you know, as you were talking about people had questions. And I was thinking back to your comment a little while ago about CU alums and who the sources are, right? So who are the sources about Boo Carter? Well, I'm very confident that Coach Prime and his coaches went directly to the Tennessee coaches to talk to them. You know, what they got told, I don't know, beats me. But so far, all the way through spring and whatever, Boo Carter has been great. As far as I can see, and what he does on the field is beyond any question. So All he has to do is keep his off the field life straight, and he's a guy who could be a first team All American.
Yeah, I mean, he almost signed with Colorado out of high school. He's been very high on Coach Prime, and yeah, I think he looks at Coach Prime as the guy that can kind of guide him through this tough stretch early in his football career with some of that off the field stuff. And as far as I know, it was not egregious. It was just maybe not being as present as you need to as a teammate.
And you talk about all the years you and I have been doing this, and we've seen this kind of redemption arc a lot, man. Wide receiver Richardson, you know, one of our great wide receivers back.
Paul Richardson.
Started out at UCLA. There was trouble. I'm not going to rehash that, but came here and he was a dream. You know, and people get to, you know what? You get to make mistakes, and we all make them. And then if you get a chance and you do right, in the past and move forward, right? And we've seen that. We've seen guys come here, get their second chance, and really blow up. So I'm excited about Boot Carter. Anybody that has concerns, well, you know, I guess you're allowed to have whatever you want to have. But I love those kinds of stories, man. I love to see when those guys show up here and make everything right.
And just one thing I want to throw in on this category, it's not necessarily primed to blow up the all conference in 26, but watch out as he develops this year going into 27. A guy we've raved about on this show. I love this kid. He's such a great personality. Preston Ashley. Keep an eye on Preston Ashley.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I looked at both of those two guys. Forget that's not a touch screen up there. But he and Maurice Williams, you know, I mean, and I was thinking to myself, can a true freshman blow up? Well, he sure can, you know. But then, I don't know. As I was going through the your eligibility chart, you know, I was looking at that, and I touched on this earlier when I touched about a lot of these guys getting into nutrition for the first time and a serious weight program or whatever. There's a lot of damn dudes on this roster who could beat this guy, you know.
Tyler Martinez, Nate Mitchell.
You know, Tyler Martinez was one of my final ones too, because everybody expected the other two kids. And he's the one that stepped forward in spring. You know, it doesn't mean it couldn't change later on, but like a Santana Hopper, man, you know, Hopper comes in at 265, you know, gets into a training table. I wouldn't surprise me if he's not back, but close to 280, whatever, but he showed he can play at this level in the spring against these linemen. So a lot of guys, I mean, Randon Fontenette, you say he can't blow up. He was a starter in the SEC. Yeah, but he's going to be used in a way here, you know, where he could really be that guy, you know, and be in a position to make those huge plays and whatever. So I'm excited.
It was fun to watch his big body moving around out there in the spring game.
Right.
Sure looks the part, man.
Well, and I think we got a defensive coordinator this year who's better attuned to the college game. And I think he saw it, and he's going to design things around that guy. He's going to design things around Boo Carter, you know. And, man, have a couple of athletes back there like that, you know, that's game-changing, you know. I mean, you know, I'm not going to – well, you know, you get a little excited. You want to talk about Travis Hunter and the guys from 2024, and I got to kind of stop myself. There ain't going to be no Travis Hunter until there is another Travis Hunter, you know. So I'm not even going to talk about that. But it's exciting.
Two Heismans, and that's pretty rare in college football.
You know, there's a lot of guys. Quincy Wiggins, somebody on the chat said Quincy Wiggins. Absolutely agree with you, man. With that guy up to 300 pounds with his athletic abilities and his length, man, Scott, that dude could play himself into the draft, you know. You know, and if he does, we're going to have a good year, you know, because if you got a defensive tackle that's that disruptive that the NFL takes notice, you generally have good seasons, you know. So this was an exciting thing to do, and even though it was my idea, I didn't really get as fired up about it until I started looking down a list of guys, you know, because, you know, Zach Atkins, now that we've got a tight end friendly offense, you know, we could really go on.
We just need him to be serviceable and consistent, I think.
Yeah, you know, but in this offense, I think he's got a chance to really do something too. So, you know. So I don't know. There are a lot of guys, and I'm looking here, you know, a lot of dudes that could really do something this year. And I think, you know, we've improved our coaching staff, which will help their develop all their development and hopefully get better. I love that we kept our same offensive line coaches. So hopefully we see some linear progression with some of those guys. I love that two of our really good up and coming guys are homegrown, and we recruited them here and we're developing them, and Gooden and Yaya, you know, and Yaya's another one, man. You know, maybe that guy starts all year long. He's got potential for all conference notice.
Yeah. So right now we are going to resume our position previews. William, you're going to help me out. You're going to do tight ends, O-line, D-line, and linebackers. I already tackled the receivers before I went into the hospital. It was just really tough for that. Like, kind of need a second screen to get through those articles where I can research some stats and stuff on the side. Right. So I'm going to come back. I've got a secondary one coming. I'll do the specialist just for you, William. I could do quarterback and then running back. So we'll have those out. And then after we do that, kind of fall in line with some of the conversations today, talking about these individual players, we'll get into our top offs countdown, which we do every summer and have a lot of fun breaking that down on the podcast as well. On the other side of this break, we're going to catch up on chat. We're going to touch on a couple other topics as well, including the fact that a week and a half away from their first big official visit weekend in Boulder. Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
What do we got here? F1 Dama D16. Good to see you, Adam. Glad you're feeling better, brother. Thank you so much. He saluted to you, William. Buff Nation is pretty freaking awesome, man. Could come off a 3-9 season and just we got a family here.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody.
All right. What else do we got in the chat here? We need a preseason game in college football. I think, you know, if you could do that during spring ball, I think that would be a little bit better. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, good.
There's some real revenue, TV revenue you can create in August for college football if you do this right.
And that same poster, SOB Chronicles, mentioned scrimmages, which I think you touched on. Yeah. But, you know, having a scrimmage in spring being able to practice against another team in spring is a no-brainer to me, which, of course, is why the NCAA won't do it. You know, you're going to practice anyway, so why not see it against another team, have it more interesting, and kind of get a better feel for how you match up against somebody different than yourself. So hopefully that would be a good thing for sure to me.
SOB Chronicles had a couple messages here. Caleb Mathis will be a surprise player. He mentioned Chauncey Gooden and Boo as well. You know, Caleb will make some catches out there. You know, he just kind of fills in the gaps a little bit. He can get you a first down here and there for sure.
But it's such a loaded wide receiver room, you know. I mean,
tough, yeah.
You know, there's no knock on him. But it's an uphill climb for anybody in that room right now because there's just so much talent in there.
Yeah. SOB Chronicles also said healthy track Hawk is running back one, but Henderson is different dog. He got an Eddie George run style. He's probably a touch taller than Eddie, but I see that kind of style. I see a little bit of that, right? Let me look at what Eddie George was listed at, because Dan's tall.
Yeah, he's listed 6'2".
I loved Eddie George at Ohio State. That was one of my favorite running backs growing up.
Well, I enjoyed him in the pros too.
He was 6'3". Okay, that's a good comp. 6'3", 235. I like that comp. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not Eddie George, but he's got the run style, as he says.
You know, and you know, another tall running back that's one of my favorite. Eric Dickerson was another guy who had a unique
running
stuff. And it's, I don't know. In some senses, it's kind of silly to compare a sophomore in college to these all time greats. But you know, you can look at running style. Like, so Eric Dickerson was 6'3" as well, but he ran with this upright style that was just beautiful to watch. He changed right, and everything was smooth, you know. And
Chris Brown was an upright runner as well at CU.
Yeah. So we have a history of that, you know, and I think Chris, I think that Henderson demonstrated some speed to me that I didn't know was there. So I think he's a guy that could be a very exciting player this year.
We got Danny Rooster 22. He's digging deep in the bag here in terms of Buffs prime to break out. He says, by the end of the season, Jason Stokes Jr., good young cornerback transfer, Lamont Lester Jr. and Javon McFadden, who said hi bye to his cousin. Man? So there's going to be some unexpected people that are going to break out for sure.
Yeah, with Javon McFadden, I would say the same thing as a wide receiver room. There's just so much older, good talent in front of him. It's going to be tough for a kid his age and his development level to break through that. And that would be the only reason also why Yaya and Gooden may not end up being starters, because there's so many good older guys who've played. And I'll be talking about that when I do that write up for the offensive line. And then, you know, Lamont Lester, you know, fingers crossed, man, because if we, you know, one of the big things in 2024, everybody says, oh, it was all Travis Hunter. Well, it was also the pass rush. You know, we need a couple defensive ends to come out of the edge group and really be dominant, you know. And if it's Lamont Lester, great. You know, if it's Emmanuel Iziogu, great. Right now, I would bet on Toby Anene and Vili Tau. We're going to go with that. Like you say, you know, anybody's guess at who breaks out is as good as anybody else's at this point.
Yeah. So this one I'm gonna touch on. Dennis Headley, 4408. He says, I don't really see us with more than 5 wins this year, but I might be wrong. This is going to be a take that's going to have me called a homer in the coming months. I'm not predicting Colorado win a Big 12 championship right now, but this is a bowl team, or they have the makeup that they should definitely 100% be a bowl team this year. Now, 3-9, you can be jaded. The fact they haven't gotten back to back bowl games in a season since these recruits that are recruiting now have been alive, there's no reason for you not to be jaded. But, and then nationally, I'm not going to pick on anybody that picks Colorado to go 3-9, because it's time for Colorado to go out, put up or shut up time. But this is not a 5-win team in terms of talent.
No, and in terms of coaching, too, if you look at last year, and we, you know, ended up with 3 wins, obviously, and I think we had 4 or 5 others where we were in the game right to the end, and we could have easily got that 6th win. And we've addressed, or Coach Prime has addressed, just about every issue that was dragged us down last year. Because I would argue that lack of QB play, number one, was the problem, and then a bad offensive coordinator and run of the mill defensive coordinator. I think we've upgraded both coordinators significantly. I think we brought in a professional offensive coordinator who has a plan and who is one of the up and comers in college football. We're going to have an offensive. Okay, here we go. We're going to start another fight. We're going to have an identity on offense this year, and there's no question about it, right? And that's going to give every player a chance to really excel. The other thing that really hurt us last year was the linebacker play, man. We have significantly upgraded the linebacker room, as long as we don't have a rash of injuries, you know. So all 3 of these linebackers are better than anybody we had. All 3 of the older linebackers are better than anybody we had on the team last year. Quite frankly, at least 2 out of the 3 incoming freshmen are probably better than most of those guys too. So I think we've addressed every issue that kind of held us back last year. And I think just based on offense alone, Brandon Marion, you know, Brandon Marion has shown me he don't know how to fail. So I'm pretty excited about the year. I don't know how many wins it'll be. I think you can also look at it from the perspective of other teams. You know, Georgia Tech has got to replace a quarterback. And from what I hear from spring, they haven't done it yet. You know, a lot of other teams have things to overcome as well. You know, most teams do this time of year. So I don't know. I think I look at us as being significantly better than a 5-win team.
Vicky Alaskin said, Braylon Edwards, exclamation mark. Yeah, kind of like Preston, man. That kid's – he's a dog. So he's going to be a good player. I don't know how much he's going to play this year. And then lastly here, we'll close out with chat with Legacy Sports Take. In an up-tempo offense and lineman depth that we have, do you think we should platoon the O-line?
I would say absolutely not, and that's coming from being an offensive line coach. I've only ever seen it work one time, and that was 1 year at Wake Forest when I was actually working with the defensive line there. I think that platooning offensive linemen, if you got enough guys, can be a possibility as long as everybody really knows what the hell they're doing. I think, you know, there's something to be said for continuity on the offensive line and getting the same five guys and letting them play. You know, ultimately, as an offensive line coach, you've got to make the hard decisions, you know. And I always go back to 2001, you know, year we hung 63 on the cornholers. But we didn't really get that thing rolling until they made a couple switches and moved Wayne Lucier to center, you know. So sometimes it takes a couple of games to figure that out. But there's a lot of – I couldn't tell you. Somebody we were talking on our board yesterday about some guy – some writer from some organization put up his projected starting five on the offensive line. And I was like, okay, well, that's an interesting choice. I wouldn't have gone that direction, but I don't think even I'm very sure.
You're just throwing darts at a board problem.
Right. Even the three offensive line coaches don't know who the starting five is right now. And that's how it should be because, you know, you'll send everybody into the summer and you work your ass off and whoever comes back with the most improvement going to get it, you know?
Although Demetrius Hunter can play ball like he can get a good fit going on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah,
I think we got a starting center.
Had to find a picture put up now that you mentioned it, but I think Demetrius Hunter is as close as a sure. You gonna get that picture? I think Demetrius Hunter is as close to a sure thing as not. But you know what? Sean Kenny has come in, and he ain't playing, man. I mean, he's a good center, and he's the same size as Hunter, and he's giving him a battle, and that's good for both of them and good for the team. So not a knock on Demetrius by any means, but you got to earn the damn thing this year, you know, so you're not going to be able to find that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're filling time because I can
going back to the platooning thing, you know, I think – the way I saw it done at Wake Forest that year was they ran a different offensive line every series. I don't know, I guess that could work, you know, but I would rather get us an offensive line that's comfortable with one quarterback. Now, here's an interesting idea. Do you want to, you know, and people are going to yell at me about quarterbacks, but do you platoon the offensive line with two different quarterbacks? I don't know. It's a possibility, but a lot remains to be seen in terms of development and who nails down those five spots. You know, I think we're going to have some big damn dudes who can run block for one thing, but yeah, I think I'd look good in that outfit. Don't you think?
No? You can't pull it off like Demetrius, man. I'm sorry. The mariachi. Look at that. Just going all in on the holidays. I love it.
Yeah. Good to mind. That's a good look.
All right. We're going off topic. If you could get on a plane with unlimited funds, and 10 days free of any work or life obligations, where would you fly and why?
Do I got to go first?
Yeah, go first.
I mean, there's so many options. I mean, I thought about, like, I don't know, I mean, probably think about want to do a 14-day river cruise in Europe. But what I came up with is I'd base myself at Homer, Alaska, man. And you said with unlimited funds, I'm going to have a float plane and a guide. And we're going to go out fishing on the ocean and catch halibut the size of a manhole cover. And we're going to go into the interior and we're going to catch salmon as long as my leg. You know, we're going to be in the float plane. The dude's going to let me fly a little bit, do tricks. I don't know if you've ever been to Alaska yet, but late spring, yeah. Alaska is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And, you know, I'm going to get my pilot guy, let's go find some huge brown bears, man. I want to see them guys catching those salmon in their mouths and stuff. Maybe take some hamburger and throw it to them or whatever. But there's so many.
I like that for you. That seems like definitely a William Gardner trip.
I would do every kind of fishing up there that they have, man, and they got a lot. And it's. I was there, I think it was 94, maybe. It was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. Just stunning.
I'll put it on the list. I need to get up Montana, too. I need to see Montana, Alaska.
One of the things that I vividly remember is you go hiking up there, out just pretty close outside of towns and cities, and every now and then you see a poster up and it said last bear sighting, like last night, big bear with two cubs right here. You know, you're like, damn. We went up, we had a guide and we went on a river cruise, and they set up a camp for us on a lake way out in the middle of nowhere. And my mom and I decided to take a walk around the lake, and we're just walking. And all of a sudden we hear this yelling from the guide, and he came running in. He had a 45 pistol out. He said, "What the hell are you doing?" And I'm like, "I don't know, taking a walk." He said, "You don't take walks around here, man." And he pointed up on his tree, and there's these big marks up there. He's like, "Those are the claw marks from a brown bear or a grizzly."
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. He's like, "You don't just go walking around up here. You make sure."
The first time I saw a taxidermied grizzly as a kid in a museum, I was terrified, man. Those things are massive.
Yeah, and the brown bears up in Alaska are bigger.
Jeez. Goodness gracious.
Home or Alaska, I don't know. That may not be where.
You're going to stay at home for 10 days?
No, Homer, Alaska. Listen to me. Listen
Homer, to me. Alaska. Okay.
Which is a port town, and it's one of those places where the sea lions and the sea otters swim around amongst the boats and the docks and everything. It's just a really beautiful place.
Otters are pretty freaking awesome, man. Otters are pretty cool. So,
all right, you're up.
All right, my friend. You know where I'm at in life right now? Could use some top-notch R&R. Not going to be as adventurous as you on this. I'm going to Greece. This time of year, moderate weather, highs in the 70s, lows in the 60s, gorgeous beaches to walk and relax. You know, got history, of course. I wouldn't say I'm the most, I'm not the biggest Greek cuisine fan. I'll throw back some pita bread and hummus or whatever. But what I would do with these unlimited funds is I would get, because it's not like they only serve Greek food there. It's find the best local chefs and have them come in each day and do like a 4-course meal or something like that. Give me a big screen TV. I definitely got to have a hot tub, a nice bed. That's kind of where I'm at. Just, you know, being in the hospital, released less than a week ago. I just, the thought of just being able to relax. I got a question for you though. Go ahead.
In the same, you know, I mean, if you're going to be in that, the history in Greece is amazing, but if you want just beautiful in the same region, Croatia, man, you know.
I've heard good things about Croatia, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're the food guy, you go over to Italy.
Oh, yeah. If I was going to be adventurous, I would, like, in a year from now, I want to fly somewhere to Italy, not touristy, not like Venice. Somewhere right. That's got great food. Take the train over to France, history. Train over to Spain. Supposed to be a lot of fun. When I was in Portugal, it's the only time I've ever been overseas. People were raving about Spain. Then I would fly back from Spain. So, spend a couple of days in each of those spots.
Except I got to tell you, my brother lives in Zurich, Switzerland, man. So we went to visit him. And
ooh, actually, that's got to be beautiful, huh?
Outside of Zurich in a little town in a valley that's so steep that in the winter the sun doesn't get all the way down. But he's okay. But he's about 3 miles away from the tunnel that they dug under the Alps that goes to northern Italy. So you drive through this thing and you're in the middle of Switzerland. And from there you can go to Zurich and Lucerne and everything else. But we went down there and I don't even know small city right on the border of Switzerland and Italy. and we had Italian food there. And like you said, it's not a tourist place. It's just a place, right? Wrecked Italian food for me, man. Ain't no Italian food over here.
What's funny is in our two best meals in Portugal were Italian restaurants where they imported the ingredients from Italy.
Yeah.
So good.
Maybe we need to do a travel podcast.
Hey, if so we get some funding, let's do it. Let's have you up in the air doing those tricks in the plane. I mean, that's good content right there. Right. Do you say hero or gyro?
Euro.
Euro. Okay.
Euro.
It's kind of all over the place with different regions. People say it differently. Yeah. Are you a fan or not a fan of that sandwich?
Like a sandwich, it all depends on what you put in it. I don't know. I'm not wild
that's
about
it. It's pretty standard. It's the same ingredients every time, pretty much, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, you go to a Euro place and you get, I mean, you know, I guess traditionally it's lamb.
I'm not talking like the traditional Euro.
Yeah, I don't know. They're okay. It's not my. It would be my choice amongst all other things.
The reason I asked this so randomly is that that's one of those foods that like I've really tried to like over time, and I just haven't been able to. And it's not bad. If you had me a hero for lunch, I'm not going to complain. It just doesn't have enough flavor for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, and like by the same, you know, if you go to Italy and order a pizza, you ain't getting what you think you're getting.
Yeah, you're not getting.
That's an American
something advantage. That's going to come out that where you have to put 18 napkins on to,
yeah,
to be able to see through the grease of the pizza. Yeah. But, don't get me wrong. I like greasy pizza.
Right.
I'll take it back. Greasy pizza.
Hey, one last thing on the chat, yeah. Get to finish it up with a football note. Somebody mentioned CU hasn't had a good center since Prime showed up. And I would
agree. They did last year.
Well, that's what I say. Jerry Rooster 22 says McGill was a bright spot last year, and I think that kid's going to play in the NFL for a while.
Yeah. So next week, we'll be previewing an official visit weekend on the show. You looking forward to that? Break down some film?
Yeah. You got to send them a little sooner than the day before. I need them by Saturday.
All right. Well, good. I can't really do much right now because I'm still on the mend. But, you know, fortunately, I'm just loving working these days right now. It's like really just puts stuff in perspective. Okay. Oh, and one note here that I had is, so yesterday there was some tweets going out that Jaden Lindsey, an offensive lineman from Maryland, was going to be visiting officially May 5th. I reached out to him. He said that was a mistake. He's still scheduled for the June 5th weekend. So if you're looking at that, Denton Geyer, defensive lineman, Kyron Hayward just reaffirmed his intention to be in Boulder next week. And we have a very comprehensive early list pinned to the top of the Inside the Message board at buffstampede.com. Again, take advantage of this deal that we got going on right now where you can get 3 months for $1. It'll take you all the way through recruiting season. You're going to have myself, Brandon Huffman, Greg Biggins, Chad Simmons, Steve Wiltfong, just an all-star cast of recruiting analysts that are going to be covering this. William, it was a fun show today, and I look forward to doing it again next week.
Yeah, in my head, yeah, we'll talk about it off the screen about when we can do our next one, but it'll be a lot of fun when we do.
Yep. All right. I appreciate you, William, and I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.